Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrett. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, just over 2,000 Wisconsinites have applied to either grow or process industrial hemp in the state for 2019. We'll take a look at what happens once those licenses are granted. First, Judith Sears-Poisson is in the studio with me for our spring membership drive. It's spring membership drive. Doesn't feel very springy, but you can make it feel spring-like with your gift. You provide the largest source of funding here at WPR. It's your chance to support all the programs you enjoy with a pledge right now at WPR.org. Or call 888-202-2552.
And this hour, we have a goal of 10 gifts. These hourly goals are important. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussion going strong on the Ideas Network. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You really do make a difference because people who listen, and that's you, provide the most significant share of funding for all of our programs on Wisconsin Public Radio. Your donation is an investment in WPR and in programs that deliver the greatest value to you.
Your contribution keeps independent public service radio on the air, not just for you, but for the entire community. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A lot of people already give, and that's fantastic. And if you ask a current Wisconsin Public Radio member why they give, they might tell you it just feels better to listen to WPR when you do give. It feels good to know you're part of making something special happen.
So why not make your maybe first ever gift of maybe $10 or $20 a month and enjoy the excitement of supporting your Wisconsin Public Radio? It starts with your donation right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Think about all the things you appreciate about Wisconsin Public Radio, the ways we connect you to Wisconsin, to your neighbors, and to the country as a whole, and to the world. Your contributions in the past have gotten us where we are today. Your gift today will take this into the future.
And your dollars give Wisconsin Public Radio the means to keep that quality and substance you count on in our programs each and every day. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you might be thinking, okay, maybe this sounds like a big hassle, though. It's going to take a lot of work to get this done. The great thing is, no, it's really easy to give to WPR. All we need when you call or go online is your name, your contact info, the amount you want to give, and of course, how you'd like to pay.
It takes just a couple minutes to make your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio, and those few minutes fund your daily listening. In fact, if you go online, you don't even have to interrupt your listening to do it.
That's true.
You can do it and listen at the same time. So your support right now really does make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It is the first day of our pledge drive, your first day to pledge during Central Time. Help us get off to a great start. Help us meet and hopefully beat that goal of 10 pledges by the end of this hour. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
As an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, your donation enters you in a drawing for a $500 grocery gift card. In fact, you'll have five chances to win. You know, that could buy a lot of staples, you know, your flour,
yeah,
your egg,
staples.
Your milk.
Because like, a staple is only like what? Like, oh, you mean like staples?
Staple items of groceries.
Items.
Or I got to say, I would probably go the this is total gravy, no pun intended, and buy lots of like snacks and treats that I would never usually let myself buy.
But then share them.
And then share them.
With your coworkers.
Yes.
Except I don't think we can win these. So.
No, I know. But anyone else could if they give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And sustainers, those of you who make ongoing monthly gifts, you are automatically entered.
Make that pledge right now. Join Susan from Three Lakes, who says, I listen to WPR every day in the car as I run errands and travel around the state. I especially love hearing the political and news discussions from around Wisconsin and the U.S. Susan, thanks so much. Glad we're with you to keep you company as you drive around Wisconsin. We have stations. We have studios all over the state to help keep us coming to you and to bring on guests from different parts of the state, get perspectives from really all corners of Wisconsin. Thanks for your pledge, Susan. How about you? We've already got two pledges now toward our goal of 10 this hour. Thank you so much. Make your gift now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And be part of the great programming that you count on every day on the Ideas Network that you tune into Central Time to get every afternoon. Your gift is powerful. It really does make a difference. Help us get off to a great start in this winter membership drive right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.
This is Central Time. Now, Wisconsin was once a leader in the production of industrial hemp before the crop fell out of favor and fell out of the law in the 1970s. But now, after a year of a hemp pilot program, interest in growing and processing the plant is exploding. With more than 1,400 people applying to grow the crop and about 700 more interested in processing, there's potential for a rebirth of hemp in Wisconsin. Molly Stentz is the news director for WORT-FM in Madison. She wrote the piece, The Comeback Crop, for Madison's alt-weekly Isthmus. Molly, thanks a lot for joining us here in the studio today.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Well, I mentioned hemp used to be a big deal here in Wisconsin. Can you give us a little bit of that history?
Sure. So Wisconsin was actually one of the leaders in the nation for hemp production. And for hemp, we should say this is distinct from marijuana, right? No THC, very trace amount, so it won't give you high. This was used to produce rope, to produce textiles, but mainly rope for the Navy in the early part of this last century. So we were one of the leading producers until the law prohibited it.
And it was because it's the same plant that produces the THC-laden marijuana, even though the concentrations were low, too low to be useful in that way, but it kind of got caught in the crossfire.
Exactly. So you can smoke industrial hemp. We should say there's three different kind of main markets for hemp. There's the fiber and textile market. That's what we used to be known for here in Wisconsin, but there's not really a market for it right now. So most people who are growing it in Wisconsin, and again, it's just 1 year into the rebirth of this industry, so they're growing it for either CBD oil or they're growing it for the hemp seeds as, you know, a nutritional supplement.
Let's talk about CBD because that seems like a big potential market here. People are hoping for a lot of health benefits to CBD oil. They're not necessarily proven yet, though, for the most part.
Right. So one of the, and that's what a lot of people are pointing to, you know, there's a lack of scientific research. But one of the reasons why that is because it has been prohibited to grow or sell because cannabis sativa, the plant, was listed as a controlled substance by the DEA. There really weren't avenues to study this. So, big public universities were worried about, you know, potentially losing other federal funding, you know, if they were to try this. Obviously, there wasn't a lot of room for study. So therefore, it's unknown.
So we've got changes in state law and now in the U.S. Farm Bill saying, OK, hemp is all right now. Getting it into the fields and into production, and this is the heart of your piece, really, isn't necessarily so easy. Can you talk about some of the obstacles that farmers that you talk to are running into?
Sure. So it's grown differently depending on how you plan to market it, where you're going to sell it. So for the row crop farmers, for those hoping to sell it for the grain or for the seed, for hemp seed, there was a lot of issues with the wet spring we had last year. You know, a lot of rain, also a lot of mold. So and that's one of the areas of research that needs to be done and will be done in years to come is the effect of white mold on hemp. But on the CBD side, that was more profitable. More people grew for CBD in Wisconsin. But there were still things to figure out. A lot of them had to do with law enforcement and getting mistaken for marijuana because it looks the same, it smells the same. And so there was a lot of kind of mistaken identity happening across the state.
And in some cases, one memo going out from the state, then another memo. And depending on which one you read most recently, that's going to tell a law enforcement officer something very different.
Exactly. And that's what the state ag, you know, DACAP was saying. They were fielding calls from local sheriffs trying to figure out, is this actually a legit site or not?
And there's also kind of a loss of institutional and just basic farm how-to knowledge when it comes to hemp, you write. Whereas if you're growing corn or soy, you can call Extension, you can talk to other farmers, your parents might have taught you this. Hemp, we had this big 5-decade interruption.
Exactly. So that knowledge really hasn't carried on. It's not there in DACAP. It's not in our public universities anymore. So that's something that could change now with the legalization, with the farm bill, and with the pilot program here in Wisconsin. Farmers are interested to know what type of variety, you know, works best in the Wisconsin climate. You know, a lot of them were developed for the West Coast, right? So what works best for Wisconsin soils, Wisconsin climate? And then having to figure out how to dry it and process it and then find somebody to extract it, you know, to press the oil to sell for CBD. All of that kind of supply chain needs to be figured out.
We're talking with Molly Stentz, news director for WORTFM in Madison. She's joining us to talk about her piece on industrial hemp in Wisconsin. It's titled The Comeback Crop, that appeared in Isthmus. You can join us at 800-642-1234. Would you be interested in growing or processing industrial hemp? Are you one of the farmers in the state or one of the processors actually trying to make this a reality right now? Would you like to see hemp used for even more purposes? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Now we continue our conversation with Molly Stentz. She's in the studio with us to talk about a piece she wrote for Madison's alt-weekly newspaper, Isthmus. It's called The Comeback Crop, about industrial hemp here in the state. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you glad to see hemp making a comeback? Do you have concerns about the growing industry? Are you doing this yourself? Are you looking to be one of Wisconsin's new generation of hemp farmers or processors? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll go to your calls now. Jordan is on the line in Marengo. Jordan, hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what do you want to tell us about, Jordan?
Well, back in the late 80s, early 90s, my brother-in-law and I were pretty early importers of hemp fabric to Wisconsin from Romania and China. And we used two different custom factories to build musical transport instrument gear and stuff like that. And at that point, I think we were a little ahead of the curve insofar as the market wasn't open yet and marketing was quite difficult. I think now with the increased awareness that the market is finally ready to catch up with the technology. I have a few guitar cases that we had built at a professional factory 20 years ago that I still drag out to gigs all the time, and the material has held up beautifully. Also, from a law enforcement and marijuana standpoint, I think it's very important for people to keep track of the fact that potency in marijuana is always a recessive gene. So if we have stands of hemp blowing their pollen all over the place, it will essentially destroy the outdoor marijuana industry, because everybody's pot for recreational purposes will be full of seeds, and those seeds will be absolutely useless for recreational purposes. So,
interesting. Jordan, I'm going to jump in and bring our guest in on this now. Thanks for the call. So Jordan was using hemp imported from other countries. Now, we don't have a lot of that here, but is the expectation, Molly, that, okay, now that it's legal, people like Jordan who want to use hemp to produce guitar cases or whatever might start creating that kind of demand for hemp?
Yeah, I think that's the hope. And from some of the processors I spoke with, they really were hoping that that would also be an additional revenue stream for farmers, so that they could grow the crop for the seed, and then the stalk is what could be harvested and then turned into fiber. It can also be turned into building material and all kinds of other things. There just isn't the infrastructure now for the market yet. A lot of that has been done in Canada because they were ahead of, you know, many states in the across the country as far as legalization goes, but there's just not infrastructure here yet.
And when it comes to THC levels too, the state is requiring testing, right? To make sure that industrial hemp is actually industrial hemp and nothing
else. Absolutely. So you have to be licensed. This is a crop. It's unlike, you know, many other crops, many other vegetables or anything. You have to be licensed. You have to register, you know, and part of that is that you have to be tested by the state agriculture department. They're going to come out in the summer. They're going to take samples of your plant and they're going to test it for THC, and it has to test below 0.3%. So less than 1%, nothing that can get you high.
Let's bring on another caller now. Marcus is with us in Madison. Marcus, hello.
Yeah, good afternoon, Ms. Stentz. I've been listening to the commentary about this for the last year or so, and it always seems to revolve around the same handful of points, the giddiness over its connection to illegality and whatnot. As I understand it, hemp production has been completely automated since about 1911. As I see it, this looks like an opportunity for a limited number of investors. But so far, the number of jobs that will be created seem to be minuscule and pretty low wage at that.
Marcus, thanks for the call. Molly, he's saying worried that there won't be a lot of jobs after all this hullabaloo and that they might not pay that well.
Yeah, well, I think as far as the farmers are concerned, they're looking at this as an extra source of revenue for their farms to help keep their farms vibrant, keep rural communities alive. So whether they're, I mean, there is some automation in the row crop side, in the grain side. I mean, certainly that's done with big combines, but there still are people involved. The CBD side is much more labor intensive. That's actually done by hand. People are harvesting by hand. So there certainly are people, there are jobs there. And then on the processing end, I think the processors are waiting a few more years to see what the yields look like in Wisconsin before determining whether and where to build processing facilities. So I think it's just 1 year of data isn't really a lot to judge whether to make a huge investment in the state as far as processing goes.
I want to get to one more obstacle that you laid out in your piece, financing, bank loans. What are farmers running into as they look for financing for hemp production?
Yeah, so last year, it was definitely the case that, you know, you couldn't get a bank loan, you couldn't get FSA loans from the government, you couldn't get finances, you couldn't even set up a checking account for this type of thing because of the federal prohibition. Even though it was state legal, it's not federally legal, right? So banks, many of which are federally chartered, don't want to touch it. But now that it is legal, there's still a learning curve. So some of the bankers I spoke with said, you know, we really want to know how to make a sound business investment. And we just don't know that yet. So we want to know, you know, which varieties are known to be good. We want to be able to analyze their business plan and know that it's solid before we invest.
As we look at applications that are going up, as you write in the piece, do you get the sense that farmers are saying, okay, I want to convert a majority of my acreage, or are they saying, we want to try this on part of our fields?
No, I think they're trying it, because one thing is the seed is really expensive compared to corn, compared to vegetables or other things. I mean, we're talking more than a dollar a seed here. So it's a pretty significant investment to start. So I think people are trying it out. You know, a lot of the CBD farms, it's actually small acres, you know, an acre, 2 acres. They're small plots, but it's really high value. So
people aren't risking their entire enterprise to get into hemp.
Yeah, and I think because of the wet year that it was last year and the mold issues with the row crop farmers who could potentially do 50, 100 acres, they're just trying it out to make sure, again, they can get the right varieties, the right seed stock, they know the right fertilizer mix, they can harvest it okay. You know, there's an issue with people's combines catching on fire. I mean, that actually happened, you know, just because it's so tough, right? Mm-hmm. That stock, the reason why it's useful for all these things is because it's tough. Well, that makes it really hard to cut down.
We'll leave it there for now, Molly. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks.
That's Molly Stentz, news director at WORTFM in Madison. She wrote the cover story, The Comeback Crop, for Madison's alt-weekly Isthmus, and she joined us to talk about the current state of industrial hemp in Wisconsin. Coming up after the news, 16 states have automatic voter registration. Governor Evers wants to make Wisconsin the 17th. We'll find out how that would work and the effect it could have on voting here in the state. Right now, it's Wisconsin Public Radio's Spring Membership Drive. Judith Sears-Poisson in the studio to remind you that we count on you to support the conversations that you count on each and every day. Make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Judith, off to a good start.
We are off to a great start. We have 35 minutes or so to get two more gifts this hour. Thank you so much if you've already given.
Yeah, and we want to get off to a really good start. This is the first day of the drive. Sometimes in the middle of the drive, we don't hit our goals, so we love to meet and exceed those goals. We get really excited when we can do that on day one of the drive. You can help us do it. Make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In the last segment, we took a look at Wisconsin's hemp growers, an industry that hadn't been legal in Wisconsin for half a century before recent legal changes. This is an example of the timely topics that we cover every day on Central Time, and we make sure that you have the context to understand what the issues are and why they matter. You can count on these kinds of conversations day in and day out from Central Time.
And we count on you to help support these conversations. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When you give today, think about becoming a sustainer. As a sustaining member, you'll give an amount, maybe $10 or $15 a month, that will automatically come out of your bank account or off your credit card. Your monthly gift will continue until you ask us to make a change.
That's right, and you can ask for the new lovely 2019 WPR t-shirt made in the U.S., printed here in Wisconsin. If you become a sustainer at, say, $10 a month or more, or a one-time gift of $120, you can ask for that t-shirt when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you listen regularly, you've probably learned about a lot of issues from the Ideas Network. For example, just in the last few days, we've talked about what an expansion of Badger Care in Wisconsin could look like, how 2020 Democratic hopefuls are viewing our state, and what it takes to be a champion auctioneer. Whatever it is, WPR is here for you, and we're watching for the latest information on topics that interest you. Invest in your future listening by donating right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I learned a bit about becoming an auctioneer in that interview.
You
we got
10
pledges,
well.
10 pledges. Can we get 10, 11? Can I get 11 pledges? Can I get 11 pledges? Can I get 11 pledges? Can I get 12? We're still at 10. We got 20 pledges. Hey, I buried the lead there. So we've hit our goal. Let's double it by the end of the hour. Make your gift at WPR.org. I'd be a poor auctioneer, I think. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Make your gift right now to support Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank you so much for your support. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll look at Governor Evers' call for automatic voter registration in Wisconsin and how effective the practice has been in other states. You can share your thoughts right now over at the Ideas Network Facebook page. First, Judith Sears-Poisson joins us in the studio to raise the money that pays for the programs you enjoy, programs like Central Time. Support from people like you is the single biggest piece of the funding for WPR programs, and that's why your support is so important at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're off to a great start. This is the first day of the pledge drive on Central Time, first day of the pledge drive at all. Your gift right now is so important because when you give, you support the programs you rely on every day.
We were looking for 10 pledges for the hour. We are already over that.
Woo-hoo.
Which is fantastic. If we get a great start now, it'll help make up for some slower days, maybe toward the middle. Make your pledge. Get us off to a fantastic start on Central Time and and show your support for public radio. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Here on the Ideas Network, you hear diverse viewpoints from different guests, and callers bring a unique perspective to the conversation as well. Because there's so much good food for thought on these programs, you probably find yourself starting conversations with, you know, yesterday on WPR I heard, or you know what I heard yesterday? You're not going to believe it. It's time to take action, to participate in making this show happen with your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Everyone should make a gift that works for them, and for some, that'll be a gift of $100 or $200 a month.
That might be what you pay for cable or your family phone plan. Listening to WPR is something you do every day, so put a value on it, like other things that are important to you. Do that right now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Picture yourself cruising down the aisles of your favorite grocery store with $500 extra dollars to spend. That could be you. You'll have five chances to win a gift card to a grocery store near you. So what would you buy with an extra $500?
I would buy buckets of olives, green, Kalamata, those two.
I need a lot of gluten-free items. I would love that. That would be fattening me up in no time.
I would probably end up buying beer and candy, but my wife would make me buy meat and vegetables.
Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Find all the rules and details at WPR.org/drawing. Donate any amount right now to be entered. Here's how.
Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Judith Sears-Poisson. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for Central Time and all your other favorite WPR programs. That's why your support is so important during this spring membership drive. Whether you give $5 or $10 a month or $100 a month, it is a great amount to give. It really does help.
You know, time flies, and maybe you donated a few years ago and you feel like you've done your part. Well, it's your continued support that keeps us going.
If it's been a while since you donated, it's a good time to renew at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We'll be glad to have you back.
You've made a habit of listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. Now make a habit of donating. It's a really good habit. It's actually a habit you can be proud of, unlike probably other habits that we all have.
Are you looking at me?
I was looking at you, Rob Ferret. Get started right now. Help out with your donation of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have a brand new T-shirt design. It's your first day to get one of those, one of these new T-shirts. Show your WPR pride. Pledge $10 a month or more and ask for it. It's a heather maroon shirt. It features a salmon color design depicting WPR signals across three Wisconsin landscapes. It's a pretty cool design.
It is. It's really different.
It does a heather, maroon, and salmon. I have like a really basic color word palette, so that doesn't tell me a lot. But it looks cool.
It's got kind of a little retro feel to it, I think.
It does. Yeah. It does. But it's really cool. And then on the back, it's got the basic WPR logo, and it says Wisconsin Public Radio. Ask for it with your gift right now of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I understand like red, yellow,
primary colors,
purple.
You're in the crayon.
Secondary. I can go right into secondary
colors.
There you go.
Well, it's a win-win if you pick up the T-shirt. You're supporting Central Time, all of the programs you count on, and another win to add to it, so a win-win-win. As an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, your donation enters you in that drawing for a $500 grocery gift card. In fact, there are five chances to win. You can go the olive route. You can go the gluten-free route. We're not going to say what you have to buy, but that's a lot of something, whatever you want to buy. So give now. Get entered in the drawing, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Julie from Waukesha says, both my husband and I listen daily to and from work. We learn something new every day and appreciate the substance of all the topics. Thank you. Julie, thanks to you and your husband for your gift and for listening. How about you? Do you rely on us to keep your commute less boring? Make a pledge in support of the conversation each and every day. Make that gift at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. If Governor Evers gets his way, Wisconsin will become the 17th state to have automatic voter registration. He's calling for the change in his proposed state budget. As people apply for or renew a driver's license, they'd either automatically become registered to vote or asked if they'd like to be. The plan might face an uphill battle as it would have to be approved, as with the rest of the budget, by the Republican-controlled state legislature. Philip Chen is an assistant professor of political science at Beloit College. Phil, welcome back to the show.
Happy to be here.
We'll talk about how this tends to work, this automatic voter registration. There are, I imagine, different ways to implement that.
There are, but it's actually fairly, there's a fairly sort of consistent model. What we have right now is what we call an opt-in system in most states. You might have heard it called the Motor Voter Act. Basically, when you go to the DMV, you're given the option of checking a box and you'll get a card to register to vote there. What this is it switches from an opt-in system to an opt-out system. Basically, anytime you have contact with the state government, if your information is provided that is enough information to register you to vote, you are automatically registered unless you check a box that says, no, I don't want to be registered to vote. And of course, it's only people who are eligible to vote are registered, all that kind of all the requirements are met, and then you're just automatically registered and placed into the registration system.
And the way most people would for sure have that contact with the state is getting a driver's license, is that right?
Yeah, so the DMV is a very common place, but really any state office. So if you go to, say, a health center or something that's run by the state, all of these are ways that, and it depends on the state how much they want to, how they want to implement this. But the idea is that it's not just the DMV, it's any kind of contact with a state government agency that where you have to fill out a form. If that form has enough information to register you, that's a place where they can, where you can sort of opt out instead of opt in.
And in the same budget address, and we've had callers ask about this, the governor talked about having some kind of driver's license for undocumented immigrants. There are people in the state with visas, mm-hmm. Documented immigrants who can't vote.
Right.
That would get sorted out in this process, presumably.
Yes, absolutely. Because one of the key parts of what you need to register to vote would be a social security number, or you know, there's ways that they can check. So yes, that is all sorted out in the process.
And we have other states already doing this.
Yes.
Do we know if it's impacted not just registration numbers, but actual voting numbers?
So obviously registration numbers have gone up because it's automatic, right?
Right.
It's almost by definition has gone up. The evidence, I think, we're still sort of sorting through the evidence on whether turnout rates in these states has gone up. But what we know from an international perspective is there's been lots of research starting in even like the 1970s that have shown that countries with automatic voter registration see higher levels of turnout than countries without it.
We're talking about automatic voter registration. Governor Evers is proposing that for Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this idea when you get a driver's license or interact with the state in a number of ways that require you to provide certain kinds of ID? Should you be automatically registered? Tell us what you think at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We got some comments already on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Gerald writes, it's pretty silly that we don't already have automatic voter registration. Voting in this country is mishandled immensely. People actively work to make it more difficult and to drive people away from making their vote when things should be easy and celebrated. And that's kind of an argument that's going on whether we're talking about automatic voter registration, voter ID, early voting. How does this fit into that back and forth over accessibility to voting?
I think this is in many ways kind of a middle ground proposal for that. It's a way for the state to continue to handle voter registration, but it eases the burden on voters in some way without actually making, you know, it's not a major change to the registration system. It doesn't implement new requirements for identification or anything like that. It's just an easier way to connect people into the registration system.
We also heard from Ron on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Ron says, if you're too lazy to register to vote and prove who you are, you should not be involved in this privilege. And that's that might speak to maybe it wouldn't increase voter turnout. The people who are motivated to vote might be motivated enough to register on their own time.
You know, I think this is a common complaint about the idea is that it's, you know, you have to have some kind of connection to, you know, you have to want to register to vote. that doesn't really explain why we trail so many other countries in this. So many other countries have automatic voter registration, and they see high levels of turnout, and it's not because their citizens are in some way lazier or less engaged in the process. If you look at some of the research from the Brennan Center for Justice, they've looked at this and said, one of the big things it does is it reduces errors in the registration process. If you're filling out a card and you fill out and you put the wrong initial or it gets copied wrong, you may not be allowed to vote if you have a voter ID requirement. Whereas if you're in a state government system, that information is automatically transferred. It's an easier system. It tends to save states money on the whole. Less processing, less error, more likely to allow people to be able to vote.
Phil Chen is with us from Beloit College looking at automatic voter registration. Zach joins us now on the phone at 800-642-1234. Zach calling from Prairie du Chien. Zach, hello.
Hi, how we doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Zach?
Well, I was curious because I just recently moved into Wisconsin and had gotten my driver's license already, and I was curious if already renewed or new registrations have already been processed, if that would take this into effect as well, if it would be you'd be automatically entered in, or is it only when you're being renewed?
Zach, thanks for calling, and welcome to Wisconsin. I don't know if we have that level of detail yet, Phil, but would everyone who's already applied for a driver's license retroactively be registered?
My guess is no, because, again, since it's not an automatic, it's not a compulsory registration. Mm-hmm. You're not required to be registered. It's an opt-out registration in every state that I know of, and so it's hard. You can't go back and have people opt out. So again, we don't have the specifics of the proposal yet. It could be amended in committee, but the basic idea, I would imagine, would be from this point forward, retroactively, would be pretty hard to implement.
Thanks again for the call, Zach. Do we know, 16, I think it was, states already have this. Are these blue states? Is this a Democratic state versus Republican state kind of thing so far?
So I have the list. I think I only have 15 states. You can look at it. It does tend to be largely Democratic states, but there are some other states on there. West Virginia has this. Alaska has it. But then you see, what you might expect. Colorado, California, Washington, D.C., Illinois, Massachusetts, Georgia's on there. So it does kind of run the gamut. But I think if you were to look at it on the whole, you would say these are Democratic-leaning states that have implemented this.
Is this something that gets engaged in a lot of controversy, like things like voter ID?
I haven't seen a lot of controversy around it. I think it's less controversial because it is a sort of a proactive measure. So it's a hard thing to be really upset about doing, but you don't see it implemented in a lot of states. I think there's probably more underground opposition to it than sort of vocal opposition.
Are there things, state policies that we know of that do boost voter turnout? Are there proven track record things in the United States?
Proven track record things. Easing registration restrictions in general. A study from the 1980s said that if you could reduce registration burdens, current registration burdens, and make them go from sort of the most restrictive states to the least restrictive states, that can increase turnout by 6.5%. So easing the process for getting in, for getting registered, for being part of the system, is a really big piece. That was in their study. That was one of the, if not the most, one of the most influential factors, was easing the system of registration, reducing wait times, reducing how far in advance of an election you need to be registered. All of those kinds of things together can drastically increase turnout.
Now, Wisconsin has that same-day voter registration. Mm-hmm. Is that one of those things that's going to make voting easier to do?
Yeah, so same-day voting registration would be one of the proposals that they were talking about that could reduce or increase turnout and reduce those barriers.
And I imagine that's one of those things that if Wisconsinites move to other states, they might be surprised maybe at the polling station.
Exactly. This is sort of one of the issues that we run into, and it was why you're seeing pushes at the national level for a more consistent set of voting laws is that the state by state nature makes it really confusing. You may leave Wisconsin and move to another state and not have lived in that state long enough to be considered a resident and be eligible to vote there. You may, some states have same day registration, but you're not allowed to register at the polls. So you have to make a trip to the county clerk's office to register and then go to the polls. So there can be a really, it can be really confusing to move states, to move into new areas.
Now, I won't ask you to predict this, but as you look ahead, and we've got a Republican legislature, a lot of things that they disagree with Governor Evers' budget on. Is this something where hypothetically you could see bipartisan cooperation?
I think you could probably see bipartisan cooperation, but I'm not sure we're going to in this legislative session. You know, I don't have my crystal ball.
Sure.
But my guess would be that this is, you know, especially seeing what the Democratic Party at the national level is doing to try to make this a campaign issue for 2020, voter reform, voting access. It's unlikely to be an issue, I think, at the state level here with a divided legislature and executive to be a high priority for the legislature. But I'm willing to be proven wrong on that.
And we've seen a lot of national Democrats in particular talk about redistricting reform, mm-hmm. and there are other key issues, voting access, things like that. Is this something that you see, this in particular, automatic voter registration, this sort of national call for states to do?
So I think you'll probably see the national, the National Party call for this, but it's much harder because of the federalism aspect, the aspect that states get to set their own voting laws and regulations. And so it's theoretically possible for Congress to implement some type of national voter registration, but it would almost certainly face lawsuits. It would certainly be sort of a longer, drawn-out process than just trying to convince states to implement this on their own.
Phil, thanks a lot for joining us
today.
Anytime. That's Philip Chen, Assistant Professor of Political Science at Beloit College. We talked to them about Governor Evers' call for automatic voter registration here in Wisconsin. Coming up, a new program at a Milwaukee college is looking to help new students decide on a major and meet a four-year graduation goal. We'll find out how that works. First, Judith Sears Poisson is in the studio with me for our spring membership drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. You count on the Ideas Network for informative, interesting discussions like that one. We rely on you to keep programs like Central Time going strong.
And you may not know this, but listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. That's pretty incredible and pretty wonderful. That's why your gift of any amount right now makes an important difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We just heard about Governor Evers' call for automatic voter registration. He mentioned that in the context of his new budget proposal. We're tackling a lot of these issues coming out of the governor's budget proposal, what we're hearing from Republicans who control the legislature. They may come out with their own completely different and new budget proposal, and we will be covering that each and every step of the way on talk shows like Central Time in the Morning Show and our fantastic news team. The folks at wiscontext.org will be bringing us great data about what's going on there. These are just the kinds of things you can count on from Wisconsin Public Radio.
And WPR is listener supported. That means that your donation right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
This membership drive, we have an exciting drawing for a $500 grocery gift card. You'll have 5 chances to win. No contribution is necessary. You can see the rules at WPR.org. Better yet, get automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We probably all had this happen. We spend money on something and then hardly ever use it.
Dining room chairs because I eat in front of the TV more often than I should.
I think I bought a $5 pair of wireless headphones once, thinking, how bad can they be? They were pretty bad.
Decorative holiday towels.
Unlike some investments, your donation to Wisconsin Public Radio is a good one. One you'll get value from every day. Make your gift to support the programs you count on right now. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Rob Ferret here with Judith Sears-Poisson. Your support during the spring membership drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
And you might think that you don't have to support WPR because someone else will. Well, WPR has been around for years, more than 100 years, because thousands, tens of thousands of people have made the decision to support something that's important to them.
Now, here's something that's important to me during Pledge Drive. I love to go into Pledge Central and see snacks there. And sometimes there aren't. And I'm like, oh, well, that's kind of a bummer. And it finally occurred to me, well, I can't count on everybody else to do it. So what did I do today?
You brought in a big box of donuts.
I brought in a big box of donuts because I got, hey, this is an important thing to me to have snacks during Pledge Drive. I can be a part of doing it. Well, there's less sugar involved, but Wisconsin Public Radio works the same way. We can't all count on everybody else to do it. We need to step up and do our part. You can do that with your gift of cash, probably not donuts. They don't travel well. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You'll want a reliable source of news and information in the coming year, up to the 2020 elections and beyond. And your support now will make that possible. So make a difference. WPR.org or 888-202-2552 with your gift of the amount that's right for you.
We count on you to support the programs that you count on hearing each and every day. We really can't do it without you. Wisconsin Public Radio wouldn't be counting upward from 100 years without people just like you. Make your very important gift at WPR.org or give a quick phone call at 888-202-2552. Day one of the spring membership drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. It doesn't feel like spring, but I am told it's just around the corner. You can help us get off to a great start on this drive with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have an awesome new T-shirt. Yeah. The 2019 WPR T-shirt is USA made, printed right here in Wisconsin. It's a really great example of where you can listen to WPR. There's a city scene, there's a forest scene, there's a farm scene. Give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and ask for yours.
Cecilia in Eagle Pledge. Cecilia says, we listen every weekday to Central Time and our grown children still make a point of listening to old time radio on Sunday evenings. Thank you, WPR, for being part of our lives. Cecilia, thank you so much. I love that your family is all part of Wisconsin Public Radio. That's fantastic. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it. How about you? Make your gift if WPR, if Central Time is important to you personally, to your family. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's WPR.org, 888-202-2552. You know, if you're not a sustainer yet, think about becoming one. It is such an easy, convenient way to give to WPR. I'm a sustainer. I really like it. You decide on the amount you'd like to give, and then you set it up. And where do you do that, Rob?
You can go online. It takes just a few minutes, WPR.org, or give a call, 888-202-2552. Pick a gift amount that works for you, and then make that very important pledge. Thank you so much for your support of the Ideas Network.